Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. If you're looking to grow your business, there's only one way, and that is by building real quality customer relationships. Most marketing software will claim they do this, but they never deliver on their promises, and you need to demand more from your marketing software. And that's where Klaviyo comes in. Klaviyo helps you build meaningful customer relationships by listening and understanding cues from your customers, allowing you to easily turn that information into valuable marketing messages. And that's why 10,000 innovative brands, including all of our clients at Wavebreak, have switched to Klaviyo. Now, what's the secret to building those customer relationships? Tune in to Klaviyo's Beyond Black Friday docuseries to find out and unlock exact marketing strategies you can use to keep momentum going all year round. Just head over to klaviyo.com/beyondbf for more. Link is going to be down in the show notes below. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Wave Break Podcast. Hope everybody's having a great week so far. I don't know when you're listening to this episode. I don't know if you listen to it the day it comes out, or heck, you could be listening to this episode months and months away, but hope you're having a great day no matter what time of day it is or what day of the week it is. Hope you're having a good one. My name is Dylan Kelly. I'm the founder of Wavebreak. And if you're new here at Wavebreak, we help e-commerce stores maximize their email revenue with done-for-you email marketing. So many stores, literally 99% of e-commerce stores, are running around with their pants down when it comes to email marketing. It's just not optimized and it's not making nearly as much money as it could be. And I see this every single week with the companies who reach out to us. And I know there's more of you out there because I get your emails. I'm on your email list. And here's the deal. Email marketing is not complicated. It's really simple. I can give you a whole checklist of things to do. And that's exactly what I'm literally going to give you. Like, all you have to do is sit down for one afternoon, make a list of these things, and you can even delegate them to your team. Or better yet, you can even hire us to do it for you. And we'll just crush it and you won't have to worry about anything. But basically, this checklist is called the e-commerce email success checklist. It's our secret strategy. And all it takes is 5 minutes. You just log in, put in your email, log into your email software, log into your Klaviyo account. Hopefully you're using Klaviyo, and just log in there, pull up this checklist in the next window and just go through it. And you'll make a list of exactly what you need to do to increase your email revenue and stop leaving that money on the table. And it's really that simple to unlock an extra 6 to 7 figures of additional revenue per year. And you can pick up this checklist. It's 100% free at emailsuccesschecklist.com. That's emailsuccesschecklist.com. If you haven't checked it out, go grab that. Link is down in the show notes. And if you've been enjoying the podcast, really appreciate you for listening. Subscribe to the podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you never miss an episode. Lots and lots of good ones coming. This week is no exception. Every week on the show, I interview the people behind the top brands in e-commerce, and I get them to share their secrets. And this week is, like I said, it's no different. And it's a really good topic that I'm really excited to talk about. And the topic is this: is your e-commerce business actually profitable? And the reason why I ask this question is because your revenue might be growing, but what about your profit? Do you actually know your numbers? And the sad truth is that most e-commerce businesses, as they grow their revenue, their profit margin actually goes down. The worst part is it just, the numbers become something that's such a pain to keep up with, and it's always the thing that's put on the back burner. You just keep moving it from your to-do list to, you know, the next Friday and the next Friday and the next day and the next week and all this. And that's the sad truth. And nobody teaches you how to manage your financials as an e-commerce business. There's no, you know, they don't teach it in school. And really, like, in the beginning, obviously, you're just trying to go out and get sales and make some money. But as your business grows, it's really important to know your numbers. And when you don't know your numbers, and when you're not profitable, it's overwhelming, it's stressful, it's complicated. But it doesn't have to be that way. Today on the show, I'm joined by Adam Lean. He's the founder of thecfoproject.com. And he actually is a former e-commerce entrepreneur himself. He started an e-commerce business, sales were growing, but profit was shrinking. And he figured out a way to turn it around, and he's literally giving away his four-step process today on the show, and I asked him a lot of questions. I left no stone unturned. So it's a really great episode. You're going to get a ton of value out of it. So super excited to get in this and dive into his four-step process to improve profit and cash flow in your e-commerce business. So without further ado, let's hop right into it. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Adam.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'm really excited to get into this episode because it's just, I know this is a big problem, and it's something that I hear, you know, talking to store owners all the time. It was like, man, like, I really don't know my numbers as much as I should, or this or that, you know, and obviously profit's a big deal. But before we dive into the details of that, first things first, can you just kind of like go into your background and share your story with us?
Yeah. I mean, that's my background, exactly why I started this business, because I was in the exact same place that a lot of my clients are. I graduated college with an accounting degree thinking I'd going to become an accountant. I got a job. Within 6 months, I was bored to tears. No offense to the accountants out there, but it's not a job for me. I wanted to get my hands dirty and work in the business and help the business grow. And an accountant's job is to record what happened in the past. I mean, that's what they do. But I wanted to actually work in the business. And so because I had no life, I moved to a town that I didn't know anybody. I started my own business at nights and on the weekends. I started an e-commerce business. This was back in 2005. It quickly grew. Within 3 years, I was doing $500,000 in sales. And I was able to leave my day job and focus exclusively on the e-commerce business. And it was going great. I loved it. But then I remember the date, 2009, it was about a month before Christmas. Man, things just took a turn for the worse. And the thing is, I didn't realize it at the time, but things were building up. I mean, sales were building up, and I was growing my sales like gangbusters, but the margins and my profit and cash flow were tanking. And they were tanking for several months. But I didn't really realize it. And then all of a sudden things sort of came to a head, and I was just, I didn't know what to do. And it was frustrating because I knew something was wrong in the business. You know, the bank account was just getting lower and lower. It was a month before Christmas. I had to make all these purchases to fund inventory, and payroll was coming up, and I was so overwhelmed. And what frustrated me even more was the fact that I was an accountant. I should know these things, but I didn't. I was so focused on the day to day, and I was in the business. I was wearing all these hats, and I was so overwhelmed, and it was just awful. So I mean, that literally is why I started what I do now. I was able to turn things around over the course of several years, and I sold the e-commerce business about 5 years ago, and I started this thing called the CFO Project. And literally, it's to give everyday small business owners somebody like a CFO to help them figure out their financials and tell them the few things that they need to do that are the most important to turn around profit and cash flow. So that's what we do. I mean, we literally tell our clients every month, we analyze their financials and their business, and we say, all right, here's the 3 to 5 most important things that need to happen this month in order to improve the profit and cash flow of your business.
Right. Yeah. I mean, first of all, that's an awesome story. I'm sure there's people listening who are just like nodding their head, just like, yes. Or like, I hear this a lot. It's like, man, I don't know my numbers, or I don't know them as well as I should. And just like, it's not like first of all, like growing an e-commerce business is like already something that's hard to do, like getting the marketing going and things like that. And there's enough information out there to learn how to do that. But there's really not that much like info out there on like how to actually do the financials of it and manage that in general. It's just like this, like, it's not even like it's a secretive thing, but it's like it's boring. I mean, not that, I mean, yeah, it is kind of no offense, but I mean, like, it's not like, I mean, for some people it's that thing that's on their to-do list, you know, maybe every Friday or whatever. Okay. Review numbers. But it's the last thing that gets pushed back and you're like, yeah, I'll get to it or whatever. So it's really interesting that you're looking at that. So like, I guess before we dive into the actual process and stuff, like, what are some of the consequences of not knowing your numbers that you've seen? Like, what are some of the biggest things that you've seen go wrong when companies don't know their numbers or things like that?
They go out of business. I mean, honestly, according to the Small Business Administration, 50% of all small businesses, literally one out of two, will go out of business within the first 5 years. I mean, that's crazy. And you're absolutely right. A lot of businesses, a lot of small businesses, especially online businesses, they get really excited because there is all this content out there and all this motivational stuff and all these courses and whatnot to get up and going. And it is exciting. I mean, I was excited when I started my first business back in 2005. I remember the day that I got my very first sale. I was driving down the road and I had a BlackBerry. Remember those? And I got a notification when I was getting off the off ramp to my neighborhood, and it was my first order. And I was so excited. It's intoxicating, but the fact remains, you have to stay in business. I mean, and to do that, you have to have cash flow. And that's why people run out of their business goes bankrupt, or they have to close the doors because they run out of cash. And literally cash is the lifeblood of the business. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I was listening to one of your other guests. He owns the hangar, the high-end hangar business.
Oh yeah.
Super nice guy, it seems like, from just listening on the podcast, but I'm gonna have to disagree with one thing he said. He said the reason why business owners should businesses exist is to serve the customer, which I'm not going to disagree with that part. But I'm going to disagree and say that the whole point of a business is to manufacture cash, is to produce cash. Okay. Now, obviously, you have to service the business, the customer. You have to have a great product, and you have to control your expenses. But at the end of the day, if you don't produce cash, you're not going to be able to serve your customer because you'll be out of business. You're not going to be able to have a solid product or solid service because you're going to be out of business. The whole point of the business is to be like this machine sitting in your garage where it's producing cash. I mean, it's manufacturing cash. And that's the whole point of a business. And what you do with that cash is totally up to the business owner. You could give it all away to charity. It doesn't, it can be for can be for any reason. You could give it away. You can reinvest it back in your business. You can, go on a huge vacation. You can save for retirement. It doesn't matter. But the whole point of the business is to produce cash, because without it, you're out of business. And that's why half of all small businesses fails. They simply run out of cash. And it's entirely, in many cases, it's entirely preventable, which is why we exist. I mean, that's why CFOs exist for big businesses. They tell the CEO and all the other members of the management, here are the things that have to be fixed in order for the business to survive and thrive. And we think that every business owner needs something or deserves something like that. So we made it easy. We came up with this 4% process. And we give you an actual CFO to deliver this 4-step process every single month, and that's our mission. We don't want our clients. I mean, our clients don't go out of business. In fact, they improve their cash flow and their profit every single year.
Yeah, that's awesome, and that's a good point. Like, you're not serving your customers if you're out of business.
Totally, totally.
And yeah, I think it's such a cool concept, like the whole CFO thing, because I mean, really, like, entrepreneurship especially is such a lonely road. And so many of the people listening to this podcast, I mean, they might have co-founders, but a lot even don't. And just to be at the helm of these e-commerce ships, it's like, it's a lot of pressure, a lot of work. And then as it grows, it just keeps, you have to scale. And that means spending more on ads, spending more on a team, investing more in your business. And then at that rate too, it's like, it almost feels like you can't shrink and all these things. It's just one thing after another. And then it's just like
that's,
I said, like, you
overwhelming.
Just, keep, yeah. And you just keep pushing it back. I guess before we dive into more specifics, like, what are some of the things that a store owner might be experiencing to know this is something they need to do? I guess, like, besides, having that empty bank account, that's kind of too late, but are there kind of any other like warning signs?
Yeah, that's a good question. Of course, every business is different, but in my experience, and I've, we've worked with a lot of business owners, there's there's this sense, the business owner knows their business enough to know that, but that they have this sense that something is not right. I mean, sales may be growing, and in a lot of cases, their sales are not the problem. It's just the fact that they're having trouble keeping up with cash. Their sales are growing, yet they're baffled by the fact that they don't have enough cash in the bank to fund inventory or to meet payroll or to launch the next marketing strategy. And they don't understand why. You know, and so there's this sense of confusion and just sense of something is just not right in the business. And they can't figure it out. And that's the number one reason why a lot of business owners just come to us in the first place, is they know something's wrong. They just can't, you know, pinpoint it or figure it out.
Right. It's almost like a lack of certainty by like not knowing and like having like exact confidence in the numbers and stuff. Like, so when those people come to you and they're like, something just feels off, like we're growing, but it's like, we don't have any money. Like, are there any common threads there? Like what it turns out to be wrong or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, I would say probably two or three common threads. That's a great question. It seems like it's either one or the other. So either camp number one, these people have a sales problem. They just haven't found the right strategy that's profitable to generate, you know, visitors to the website and to convert those visitors profitably. I mean, you could buy, you know, Facebook ads all day long, but if they're not profitable, if they're not sending the right customers and those customers are not buying once they get on the site, then it's, you know, it's just a waste of money. The other camp is that they have a gross profit problem, meaning their margins on the products that they're selling are just way too low. And that's indicative of that. That tells me that they're trying to play a price war game with their competitors like Amazon, you know. And if, you know, and I tell clients all the time, or tell e-commerce businesses, you cannot beat Amazon at their own game. Amazon is great at having competitive prices, and you just simply can't do that. You can't be in the commodity business. If the only thing that separates you from Amazon is a price, then you're going to lose. And so you have to have something unique or proprietary about your business, about your products. And it could be all sorts of things. It could be the way you handle customer service, or the type of content you have on your site, or anything. You have to be able to do what your competitors, i.e. Amazon, can't do. You can be an expert in your craft. But anyways, you've got to increase the margins, because the other, a lot of business owners struggle because they have very low margins. And the third thing I think that is common is that business owners just have way too much overhead expenses, things that do not matter. I mean, there's no point in paying for something like, you know, any type of expense, you name it, marketing, payroll, employees, insurance, rent, you know, vehicles, whatever, if it's not producing some sort of return for you. I mean, think about it. Why spend money on something if it's not going to give you a positive return? You might as well keep the money in your bank account. I mean, why pay Sally to do customer service if she's not at least covering her salary in some form of profit? You might as well not employ her and keep the money. You'll come out better. And coming up with that return on investment is hard to do, but
right,
there,
that's what
there
I was gonna
ways.
Say. Yeah. Like, especially for like the average e-commerce store owner, right? Like someone like you who's really good at numbers and has done this over and over again, like you can see and like, okay, here's what the ROI on that person would be. But like for these people who like, I mean, a lot of people just start these businesses and then they just keep growing and growing and growing. It's like, you just learn along the way as you go. And it's really interesting that you say that, because there definitely is an ROI of every single person involved. But just, yeah, like knowing how to calculate it, it's like, that's half the battle too. And that's totally another part of the value, you know, having somebody who knows what they're talking about, you know, in any part of your business, whether it's your financials or your marketing or whatever, it can really help take you to the next level, because, you know, you don't know everything, and that's a dangerous problem.
Yeah, that which is why big businesses have CFOs for that exact reason. You need somebody looking, because again, at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is whether or not you're making a positive cash flow. That is the difference between being in business or not being in business. And cash flow and profit and all that are numbers and financials. And you have to have somebody who understands it. Because honestly, the business owner, they're too busy doing a million things. They need to stay focused on what they do best. I mean, you know, we work with a lot of e-commerce. That's our focus, but we do have some non-e-commerce clients. I have a doctor that's a client. He owns a colonoscopy screening practice, and he's great at what he does. But he's not a great business person, and he likes the fact that he has a numbers person that can help him. I mean, I have an e-commerce client in Florida. Same thing. Their sales were growing like gangbusters. They didn't have a sales problem. They had in this particular case, a gross profit problem with one of their main categories. And we spent about 6 months fixing that, working with the suppliers and doing all sorts of things to improve their margins. And they added $250,000 in net profit straight to the bottom line without increasing sales. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty insane. But yeah, those are just some of the things that you can accomplish by doing one simple thing, which is dialing in your numbers. And now one thing I want to dive into is just like, how do you do this specifically? Like, now that we know what we're missing out on and why we need to know our numbers, like, what do we do next? Like, how do we achieve these results that you talk about?
So what we do is we lead our clients through a four-step process. And the four steps, we've made it very basic on purpose just so that the client is really clear on what these four steps are. But behind the scenes, the CFOs, we're doing the bulk of the work to analyze the business. But the four steps that you need to do to improve the profit of your business, step one, and we just sort of talked about that, is you have to know your numbers. But you not only have to know your numbers, you have to know what your numbers are telling you. I mean, you see, you know, I'm sure everybody's watch Shark Tank. You know, they always tell the people that are pitching, you know, you have to know your numbers, but it's more than that. You have to know what the numbers mean, what they're telling you. You have to study certain metrics, certain numbers in your financials and understand the trends. Like, what, you know, you may have a sales problem, but you may not have a transaction, number of transaction problem. You may be getting a lot of transactions, making a lot of orders, but it may be a average order value problem, or it may be a gross profit problem. You have to know what those numbers mean. So, you know, anybody listening, in my experience working with business owners, they complicate the financials more than necessary. They think the financials that their bookkeeper or accountant or QuickBooks gives them are too complicated. And once you understand what they mean, they're really not that complicated. So I would say just run your profit and loss or income statement report every single month once your books are closed, and every single month take what those numbers are telling or giving you, the report, and just put them in a spreadsheet. And then every month, make a column for every month and just see what your trends are looking like. And you'll start to notice certain things. But the key is for step one is you've got to know your numbers and what they are telling you, because you've got to be able to spot the trends. You've got to be able to spot red flags. You have to know where your business is really heading. Because a lot of people, they just sort of put their heads in the sand and don't look at their books or their financials and just hope things, you know, sort of magically work out. And unfortunately, that's a recipe for disaster. You've got to know where you currently are. So that's step one. I mean, step two is you've got to set goals for profit. And in big business terminology, this would be setting a budget. But we don't really call it a budget because budget just sounds restrictive. We just simply set you know, set goals with our clients for profit for the next 12 months. So where profit-wise do we want to be 12 months from today? And so we'll take, once we sort of understand the numbers in step one, then we'll set goals for profit. And to do that, we'll set goals for sales, for cost of sales, which will give us our gross profit, and then set goals for expenses, and then that will give us our net profit. And then that way we have a target that we're aiming for. And so, you know, then step three is every single month, you've got to know where your business has performed over the past 30 days or the past month as compared to your target. Are you on track to hit your target for those areas that you set the target for? Sales, gross profit, expenses. Which areas are you not on track and which areas are you on track? And then the last step is the area, you know, is step four. The areas that you're not on track for, you've got to zero in on that and figure out why, and then set the most important next steps or the most important task that you need to take over the next 30 days to correct it, to get back on track, to meet your target, your goal for profit. And here's the thing. This step four is the most important part because there's a million things on your plate. I mean, every business owner has a million things you could be working on. Most business owners' problem, though, is that they're working in their business instead of on their business. They're working in the business, fighting those fires, dealing with their employees, dealing with their customers, dealing with some order that got lost, you know, from UPS, and you know, their days are consumed by these problems. But because of that, they're not working on the business. They're not working on the most important things to be on track to meet your profit. And so that's actually the biggest value that we provide, is we give the business owner the short list of things that they have to do. And we analyze the financials for them and say, look, you've got to do these three things over the next 30 days, and we'll strategize on how to make it happen. But the fact remains, if you've still got to focus on the most important things, no more than five things, in order to, because you got to make sure it gets done. If you focus on 30 things, nothing's going to get done. But if you focus on five, then it's realistic. And if these five are the most important things, then you've done a lot to work on your business that month. And then the next month, just do it all over again.
Right. And it's like the 80-20. Like, first of all, like, anything is better than nothing. And then by focusing on the most important things, you're going to pull the biggest levers that are going to have the biggest impact in your business.
Absolutely. That's right.
Yeah. And I like too how it starts with, like, you're not just like, okay, here's some things we can get together and fix the numbers. It's like, okay, first things first, let's figure out what's holding us back. And then let's figure out where we want to go. And then it's like, you can just take those and kind of see where you're at. I mean, just doing that, like, so many people don't even have that written out in the numbers. Like, they might have like, oh, you know, we want to hit X revenue by the end of the year. But it's like beyond that, it's like, yeah, we'll just, you know, we'll do whatever we have to get there.
Totally. And yeah. And you brought up a good point. A lot of people do focus on the revenue. They'll set goals for, I want to be a $6 million or $7 million business.
We want to hit eight figures. Million dollar business. I want to put eight figure in my LinkedIn.
Totally. Right. Because, you know, I mean, which is great to say. I mean, who doesn't want to say that? But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much you make. It matters how much you keep. Making is the sales. Sales is the making part. The profit is the keeping part. Profit is what keeps you in business. So that's why in step two, we set goals for profit. But to get there, we, you know, of course, we set goals for revenue and gross profit and expenses and all that. But at the end of the day, we're setting a profit goal because that's what we want.
Yeah, that's awesome. As we start to kind of like wrap up here, I'm just wondering, like, are there any kind of like specific results that you can share that you've seen, or like things that you've seen turn around? I think it's like really, it's always like fun to hear, you know, like, you know, in addition to like all the things that could go wrong, also hear like, okay, by nailing this in, like, here's what was able to happen.
Yeah. So I have one client that, that we started this process, and they were working on a lot of things that honestly did not matter. They were working on things that they were just, you know, they found sort of more sexy to do and, you know, marketing and new products and things like that. But we dialed in and figured out that, look, these are the, you know, these are the problems that are holding you back. These are the main things that are holding you back from improving your profit so that you could take that cash and do those things that you're talking about. But we've got to fix the problems now. And they were not even aware that they had these problems. So we dialed in and spent, you know, a couple months focused on these particular things. In this case, it had to do with their marketing return. They were spending money on marketing, on types of advertising that was just not giving them the type of return that they needed. They were getting a lot of low value customers, low value orders, and it was just largely a waste of money. So we were able to figure out, you know, here's the of the 10 different marketing strategies that you're running, the only two are profitable for you. So let's get rid of the 8 and focus all your efforts. And that way their team wasn't as stressed out because now they're able to focus on 2 marketing efforts instead of the 8 or the 10. And then we were able to be hyper focused about improving the return on investment for those marketing strategies. And they were able to save money per order because they were, you know, getting rid of those unprofitable strategies. And they were able to improve sales. I mean, it's just, but by starting with the numbers, we uncovered the problems. And they unfortunately were not focused on the numbers. They were just focused on what they thought their customers would, you know, wanted and what they wanted to focus on, what was more fun, but now they're able to do the things that they really wanted to do and expand their business because they have the money to do it.
Right. And now they have the profit to even keep going. That's something similar that happened with, one of my clients is like by adding email, which is really profitable. We added that into their business and like their business tripled. And I was like, wait, what just happened? Like, did you guys just unlock some secret like marketing channel or like what? Like, why did this just happen? And they were like, no, like actually what happened was now our the lifetime value of our customers is a lot higher, so we can spend more on the front end. So like unlocking that profit is just super powerful stuff. And it almost sounds counterintuitive. It's like do less and like, you know, cut things out to make more money. But I mean, I've seen it in other businesses like work again and again. So just like that 80-20 rule.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, it's like I'm beating a dead horse. The profit is really the only thing that matters because that turns into cash. Cash flow is the lifeblood of the business. You have to have it or you'll be out of business. And there's really just 3 ways to get cash. And just 3. The first is going, getting debt, like credit cards and, you know, venture capitalists, if you're large enough, I mean, or going to a bank and getting a loan, that's debt, but you know, obviously you have to give that money back. The second way to get cash is getting investors. You can, you know, find an investor, you know, and a lot of people focus on this. They try to get investors because it's the thing to do. But of course you have to give away a piece of your business to do that. And the third way, which obviously is the best, is to make a profit from your existing operations and self-fund your growth. And for a lot of businesses, a lot of e-commerce businesses, it does not make sense to take on debt or to take on investors at all. And if they do, they're usually doing it for the wrong reasons. At the end of the day, the only person that's really going to care enough about your business is you, the business owner. And so you've got to just self-fund your own, growth, I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
And that's what we help them with.
That's the best way to do it. That's awesome. Yeah. And as we wrap up here, I know you mentioned that you were going to give something away to everybody. I don't think, like, nobody has done that in a really long time. So I'm super excited for this.
Yeah. So I've put together this, this online workshop, and it's basically five changes that you can implement to boost profits this quarter. And the workshop's called Why Your E-commerce Business Might Not Be as Profitable as It Should Be. And in it, I tell you the five things that are needed to boost profits. And to get it, just go to my website, thecfoproject.com/video. So that's the and then CFO as in Chief Financial Officer, project.com/video.
Awesome. And I'll link that up down in the show notes below. Really awesome to have you on the show, Adam, just because like this is a problem I hear over and over again. Like I've heard people who like they don't even know, like there's some basic numbers that they don't even know just because things are moving so fast and the business is growing and whatever. So I think it's super important that, you know, somebody talks about this. And it's great to have you on the show since like not only are you an expert in financials, but you've also been there in your own experience. You had the e-commerce business. And you had you were struggling with it at one point. You're like, man, why is this bank account dwindling? And I think that's great that you were able to figure it out. And I'm sure a bunch of people can relate to that. They're like, oh my goodness, like I can totally relate. And then, you know, you have to budget for inventory and ads and all these things. And what if I order too much inventory? What if I don't order enough? Then I miss out on possible sales and all this stuff. And it's so stressful. So it's great that something like the CFO Project exists. So if you guys resonated with anything in this episode, definitely go check out his video training. Obviously, he dropped a lot of value here. I can't imagine how good the training must be too. So go check it out. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Adam.
Yeah, oh man, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak Method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. Let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store, and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge. And it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible and we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.